Lord is my shepherd. So you got to understand that Psalms 23 is talking about sheep. But he gets down to the scripture and he says, he anoints my head with oil. And when he says that, I'm just going to read 23rd Psalm. Is that okay?
Yeah.
If you know it, quote it with me. I can quote it, but sometimes my mind gets going three directions and then I forget where I'm at in it. But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you don't know that psalm by heart, you should. Take a verse a day if you need to. Write it down on your sandwich, on your lunchbox, and read it. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of the love of the shepherd for his sheep. Amen?
Yes.
The care that a shepherd takes. And you know, I did the demonstration before. I'm trying not to re-preach everything that I preached before, but sometimes they just all mingle in there together, and I guess that's the way it's supposed to be. But you remember the demonstration where Jesus talks about the door. He says, I'm the door. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me, what, were thieves and robbers. We just talked about them. We're going to talk about them again in a minute. Thieves and robbers. But how many know the demonstration that I saw? It said the shepherd would actually bring the sheep into a little corral that would look a little bit like this, right? And so it would kind of look like this. And what the shepherd would actually do is in the opening of that area, the shepherd would actually lay down, and he would sleep right there. He literally would become the door into that sheepfold, so that anything that was going to pass through that door is going to have to pass through him first. Hallelujah. Any thief, any robber, anything that tries to hurt, maim, molest, or touch the sheep is going to have to go through the shepherd first. That gives me comfort this morning. He is the door. He's talking about the entrance to the Father. But how many know if the sheep are in the sheepfold, before sickness, before disease, before despair, depression, poverty, before any of those things can get to me, they're going to have to pass through him first. They're going to have to filter through the power of the Holy Spirit if I indeed realize he is the door and the entrance into the kingdom of God. I mean, no, we go through some things sometimes. Hallelujah. But aren't you glad that God's got this? No matter what the outcome, his grace is sufficient. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But what he says there, he anoints my head with oil and my cup runs over. How many know that means that everything that passes through my head, my brain, my soul, my psuche, my psyche, my mind, my will, and emotions are anointed with oil from my shepherd. Hallelujah. One translation said slather. Slather is a little bit different than anoint, right? We think about anoint, and we touch with a little bit of anointing oil. He slathers my head. One of the other tricks they do with sheep, hopefully we'll get to it, they dip them. There's three things that come against sheep: bugs, butts, and cuts. We're going to talk about that this morning. And so one of the things that they get rid of, the way they get rid of the cuts, or what they call the scabs that sheep get, they just immerse them. They just dip them in an ointment that brings healing and keeps the bugs away. So I'm like, Lord, I don't know that I just want you to anoint my head. Go ahead and slather my head. And on the days I really need it, go ahead and dip me. You know, maybe that's what our baptism does. Just go ahead and dip me, Lord. We just had a baptism at the state park. Baptized 17 people. We dipped them. We dipped them. Hallelujah. And so, as I was thinking about that, everything that passes through my thoughts, because how many know it mostly is our stinking thinking that causes us the most grief? Someone shared with me this week they had gone to the doctor and they were so nervous about going to the doctor and what was going to happen when they got there. That it was her daughter and said that her blood pressure shot so high as a teenager that they were in fear and was not going to let them leave. They said, your blood pressure is too high to leave here. And the mom convinced them. She said, I'm telling you, it's because she is so nervous and so worked up over this. How many know that's our mind? Our psyche, our psyche, our thinking. And we get ourselves worked up. I'll just say, maybe me. I'll preach to me. You all just let it flow on back. And sometimes we just get our minds so wrapped up in things sometimes that we create scenarios and situations that aren't even real sometimes. Anybody? And we worry about things sometimes that never happen. And for some reason, I don't know what it is. Sometimes I think even as parents or maybe moms or worse, we think it's our responsibility to worry. Right? Like it's just part of the job description. Like worry ever changed anything. And so sometimes we get our blood pressure in an uproar. We get our numbers are up and we get so worked up. Why? Because our mind has told us something that's not true of us. And so what we have to do then is what? We have to reframe our minds. We have to redirect our minds. We have to, do you know the best cure? If you've had a bad dream, if anybody's ever had a bad dream, do you know the best cure for a bad dream is start quoting the scriptures over yourself? Start speaking the word. Get out your Bible. Start, not just put it under your pillow. See, people say, I'll put the Bible under my pillow. If that works, put it under your pillow. Put three under your pillow. Whatever you got to do. Because sometimes what it is I feel protected in my mind. I feel protected because the word is under my pillow, right? But more important than having it under your pillow is put it in your mind. Put it in your heart. You know, and at night when you can't sleep, don't count sheep. Count your blessings. Start declaring everything that's good, everything that's true, everything that's right, everything that's perfect, everything that God's already did. See, more than prayer requests, I love praise reports because praise reports are faith builders. They cause my mind to think in a higher level so that when I come in feeling defeated and somebody says, I got the victory, I say, wait a minute, if they got the victory, I can have the victory. If they got a healing, I can get a healing. If things is working out for them, it can work out for me. It changes my view. It changes my perspective. It gets my mind from here to here. One of the people that Jesus searches out and heals is the woman with the crooked back, the woman who's been bowed over. The scripture said, and she could no wise lift herself up. Do you realize there's sometimes in your life you cannot lift yourself up? You got to have the strength of the brethren to get underneath of you and lift you up. But guess what? There's a different view from here and here than there is from here. That my feet. If all I ever see is my feet, all I ever see is my own walk. If all I ever see is down here, all I ever see is the dust that I am. I never realized the spirit that I was meant to be. If all I ever see is here, all I ever see is my limitations. And I forget, as he says to that lady, ma'am, you are a daughter of Abraham, and you have the right to be upright. You have the right to be made whole. You have the right to be healed, to be whole, to be renewed. Hallelujah. And you know what happens, I think, in that scripture, that sometimes that gradual pull to the earth is so gradual that we don't see it happening until all of a sudden one day you just can't stand up again. And until somebody begins to declare, you are whole, you are healed, and you're a daughter of Abraham. And so what we have to do sometimes then, all the time, not sometimes, I'll take that back, is to anoint our head, our mind, our thoughts, our will, and our emotions to saturate or slather them with his anointing. Hallelujah. To consecrate means to declare sacred, dedicates formally for religious or divine purpose. To anoint means to consecrate. And consecrate means you've been set aside for divine purpose. Anybody in here been anointed? A couple of you? We've all been anointed with the oil of his gladness. The anointing and the power and the oil of the Holy Spirit. And we make the mistake by saying, boy, she's anointed. He's anointed. Like they're the only ones anointed. And I mean, we all have that anointing, that power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Stir it up. Stir it up. And what it means is we've been consecrated and set apart for divine purpose. When I say that our kids are anointed, that's what I mean. They're consecrated. They're set apart. They're ordained for something powerful, something great. And so as I began to think about that, I said, Lord, I want you to anoint my head, anoint my mind, anoint my will and my emotions. I want you to anoint my racial mind, my doubtful mind, my double-minded mind, that I think one day I'm in Adam, one day I'm in Christ. I mean, we're only in Christ. That old man is dead because I buried him. I buried him in baptism, and I was resurrected a new creature. I'm not a double-minded man, because a double-minded man is unstable in all their ways. Anoint my depressed mind, my stressed mind, my anxious mind, my worried mind, my fearful mind. Anoint my head with oil. Hallelujah. Sometimes the best therapy is just to get in his presence. Just to get in his presence. Sometimes it can be just get in the word. Sometimes it can be praise and worship. Sometimes it can be your alone time with God. And then sometimes it can be in corporate. Because I believe in the power of the corporate anointing, the corporate worship, corporate prayer, corporate the body of Christ where every joint supplies. I love what Miss Eileen said this morning. I love that she remembers that. She said, I came in full and I'm going out empty. And we did a sermon on that back some time ago, because my mindset growing up as a kid is we came to church empty. And then we sang, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. And then we would come in like a gas tank and we would get filled up on Sunday. And we'd go out and we would just expel every bit of fill up we had. And we would come back in next Sunday empty. And then we would say, fill my cup, Lord. Right? But the Lord said something to me back some time ago. He said, what if the people would ever come in full and leave empty because they poured out everything that they had in them. They poured out every bit of meal and every bit of oil and said, sir, all I've got in my barrel is a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil, but I'll prepare it for you. And then my son and I, we're going to live and then we'll just die. And he said, ma'am, if you'll go ahead and bring me what you got in your cruise and what you got in your barrel, if you'll go ahead and dare pour out what's inside of you, if you'll go ahead and release the anointing that's in you, if you'll go ahead and feed somebody, if you'll go ahead and pour out, here's what I'm going to do for you. Once you get that emptied out of there, I'm going to pour it in, and I'm going to fill it up, and I'm going to see to it that your cruise never goes empty and your barrel never goes dry until God sends rain on the earth. Yeah. Hallelujah. What if we ever came to minister? She said, I'm going to minister to the prophet because that's what the prophet asked me to do. But it's going to take me risking my son, because I was gathering sticks. Not going to make me a little hoe cake. And we were going to eat that. And then we were going to die. We got to change our mindset. what she realizes, wait a minute, this is divine opportunity. This is a rare moment. This is a moment that God is about to change the direction, and I'm going to quit thinking about dying. I'm going to start thinking about living. I'm going to declare life, and I'm going to say, you know what? Maybe the man of God knows what he's talking about. Maybe the woman of God knows what they're talking about. It. I'm going to go ahead and give it out. I'm going to go ahead and put that last bit of offering in there. I'm going to go ahead and sow out some groceries. I'm going to go ahead and give. Because maybe God just wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. Maybe he wants to pour in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Come on, somebody, shake yourself a little bit. Shaking together means you got to shake it down a little bit to get some more in. Anybody ready to pour some more in? Hallelujah. And so she begins to give out. And so, you know, we got to change our way of thinking. A shepherd would anoint the sheep for bugs. I want to ask any of you if you have bugs. Or referred to as nose flies. Sheep get nose flies. Anybody ever dealt with those little like gnats we have that fly around and swarm your head, and you'd love to sit out on the porch, but the gnats are so bad, they get in your eyes, they get in your nose, they get in your ears. And if they're not dead, when they get in your nose and you get in your ears, they still buzz. So Morgan and Dave was home this week. My grandson was home. Mr. Elliot was there. And so we got a new battery for the Lightning McQueen car. And we couldn't wait to get out in the yard for them to ride the Frozen Jeep and the Lightning McQueen car. And they were screaming and running in the house. And we're like, let's go outside a little bit. And so we go outside and the bugs are so bad, you can't already stand it out there. They're biting you on the legs, and they're, you know, swarming everywhere. And so I get the off or whatever, the bug spray, and then I get some peppermint oil because people say that peppermint oil are good to keep the bugs and things away. I'm not sure what kind of bugs they keep away, but we tried it, and I can't say that it was necessarily like this major revelation, but I anointed my head with oil. That's what I did. Peppermint oil right there on my head. Put it on my ankles because that's where they would bite me, on my ankles. And Morgan come over and she's swatting them, and so I just went like this. And the oil that was on my head went on Morgan's head. I said, that's peppermint oil. A couple minutes later, she said, Mom, is this supposed to be hot? Because all of a sudden, the peppermint oil that was hot on my head was on Morgan's head, and she was getting an aroma, and a fragrance was being released. How many know? Because we'd been head to head. And all of a sudden, what was on the anointing that was on my head now was the anointing that was on Morgan's head, and she started to feel it. What if we ever anointed our head and went head to head with somebody so much that they started to feel it, started to say, whoa, I don't know what that was, but all of a sudden, I'm getting a feeling here. I'm getting a touch. I'm getting a fragrance. Something's happening. Mom, is that supposed to be hot? Yeah. Not sure if you're supposed to wear it or drink it or chew it, but whatever. So we anointed our head with oil. And a little bit of off spray. Thank you, Jesus. But how many know there are things in life that will bug you to death? They will drive you crazy. Nose flies. Here's what nose flies do. Get ready. I love this. They are flies that lay eggs in the mucus in the sheep's nose. Awesome, right? And they hatch into worm-like larvae. Now we went from flies to larvae, worms. They'll burrow into the head of the sheep, and they're accompanied by intense irritation. For relief, sheep will beat their heads against trees, rocks, or posts. In extreme cases, throw themselves off of a cliff to get the buzzing and the inflammation and the aggravation from the nose flies to stop. Infection from these flies can set in, and it can ultimately lead to blindness. But applying oil or the ointment can bring immediate relief. Don't you love that? the end line, right? The last line. How many know there are things that will get into your mind? Things that get planted there. Someone was sharing the other day about a child that was struggling because they had dealt with some bullying and some things like that. And she said, they've planted some things in her that it's taken me forever to get out of her. I mean, sometimes if we're not careful, we will take serious words and things that are planted in our head and in our heart, even as a small child or even as an adult. And those things will burr themselves into your mind and into your self-esteem and into your ego. And if you're not careful, you'll give power to those words. And they can cause you to go blind because they will blind you to what's true of you and cause you to believe a lie. And allow that worm to cause infection and stuff in your brain and cause you to think that's where stinking thinking comes from. But the immediate cure to that, and they said I think they would mix like linseed oil, sulfur. One of them was tar. Sometimes they would use tar. It was different ointments that they would use to anoint the sheep. And they said, but a good shepherd would know that it's fly season. In the culture and in the area, in the countryside where they're at, they call it fly time, fly season. But the shepherd knows fly season is coming. So here's what he does. A good shepherd will anoint the head of the sheep before fly season ever gets there. Before he ever takes them to the place where flies exist and are prevalent. He knows how to anoint their head with oil. And even if they are aggravated by flies, the ointment applied can cause them to go. I think it was Carolina in the car the other day to me said, I think I want to be a cow. They were looking at the cows and there was black cows and red cows and white cows. And she said, I would like to be a cow. And I said, not me. Watch those cows. Them flies are swarming them cows' face. And they're used, see that tail? They use that tail as best they can to swat those flies and those big old horse flies and things away. And they don't even have hands to swat them off. I don't want to be a cow because I couldn't stand the flies. Right? Because they would drive me crazy. There are things that bug us to death that if we're not careful, they'll lead to blindness and even death, but they also will cause you to bang your head against things. I was working on a bulletin board this week for school. School starts tomorrow, kindergarten. And I was trying to get it lined up. I think it's because I live with a carpenter. It's got to be plumb. It can't be off the, you know. And so I had this little laser thing. So I was all set up to use this laser light to show me how to line up. And I was lining up Scrabble squares like things, you know, Scrabble Slam. I was making my bulletin board. I could not get them straight. They would come down, and then they would go. Well, we all know Scrabble is not crooked, right, Mom? Mom's a Scrabble champion. You can't have them crooked. You got to have them straight, right, Ike? And so I would take them down, and I'd put them back up. I took them down. I put them back up. And finally, I was standing along the board, and someone laughed at me, and I just started banging my head against the board behind me. I was like, this bulletin board is going to be the death of me yet. Because there's some things that just wear you out, right? Sometimes the best thing to do is walk away. Just walk away from it. You know, come back later. If that is the worst thing that I face this year, yeah, is the bulletin board. Thank you, Jesus. But we all know there's things that drive us crazy. They get in your head. They get in your mind. People's words are powerful. Be careful how you use your words. If you have opportunity to speak life to somebody, do it. If you have the power to bridle death from coming out of your mouth, do it. Power of life and death is in the tongue. You can speak life to somebody or death in a moment because you can say 100 positive things about somebody, but say one negative thing, and that's what they'll remember. Amen. Amen. So they were aggravated by bugs. Next is butts, B-U-T-T-S. I'll give you a minute to get a mental picture. I'm talking about butts like headbutting. Ha. Huh? Headbutting. Subtle changes occur both in the countryside and in the sheep in the flock. There are subtle changes. This is the season of the rut or mating of great battles between the rams for possession of the ewes. Or the next of the monarchs will, they grow strong. The next of the monarchs will grow thick and strong. And then they will go across the pasture and fight for the favor of the ewes. And they actually will lock horns or they'll bang heads and they'll cause injury to each other by looking for position, placement, love, whatever it is, because they're driven for position and for the and power of the ewes. So guess what the remedy to that is to help that from being devastating? They anoint their head with oil. One of them said they put axle grease on their horns so that when their heads or their horns come together, they just kind of glance off each other. They don't stick, they don't cause as much damage, and they don't lock together because they've got them greased up in oil. They've anointed their head with oil so that it does not become disabling or become a problem among the flock. How many know we would have a whole lot of less power struggles, fighting for position, love, relationship issues if we would anoint our head with oil? Yeah. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead, to guide, direct, and to speak. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Operate out of the power of the anointing. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, I come to serve. You want to know what greatness looks like? It looks like a towel and a wash basin. The most powerful thing that Jesus ever did to his disciples probably was wash their feet. Peter said, you're not washing my feet. He said, then you'll have no part with me, Peter. If you don't understand, if you can't understand servanthood, if you can't understand the power of a towel, if you can't understand that what I'm about to do is I'm going to put myself in the lowest servant of the house and I'm going to wash the feet of those ahead of me, because when I do, I'm going to elevate you to the next position. I'm going to elevate you to a place and a posture that I'm about to send you out. But if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part with me. Peter said, bring it on. Wash my head, wash my hands, wash my feet, because the towel is mightier than the sword. Working out of our anointing, if you know who you are, you won't have to worry about power struggles. If you know how God has placed you in the body, you won't have to fight over who's going to do what. Hallelujah. And what you're going to do is say, you know what? Like David did, you need a musician. I can be a musician. You need an armor bearer? I can be an armor bearer. You need somebody to bring food to the sons? I can bring food to the sons. You need somebody to fight the giant? I can fight the giant. You need a king? I can be a king. You need a giant slayer? I can be a giant slayer. Because David understood what it meant to have your head anointed with oil. Because when Samuel came to the house, I'm not going to get through all of this, but when Samuel came to the house to anoint David king, he anointed him out of what? Anybody remember? A ram's horn. Signifies there's been a death of a male lamb. Signifies the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But when Saul was anointed, he was anointed out of a flask. A man-made system of anointing. And he was not productive and he was not successful. But when God began to anoint a king over his house, he said, I'm going to find somebody who's got the heart of a shepherd. And when I do, I'm going to pour out oil out of a ram's horn on him. And I'm going to anoint him for greatness of what's to come. How many know David understood having your head anointed with oil? And he didn't push for position. How many know promotion comes from the Lord? He didn't have to push for promotion. Promotion hunted him down. That's how I want to live. I want promotion to hunt me down. Instead of me running around and trying to figure out where to plug in, I just say, Lord, let promotion hunt me down. Amen. Whatever you desire for me, wherever you want to place me, anoint my head with oil to trust you to bring me where you want to bring me. And the other thing was cuts. They get something called scab. It's an irritating and highly contagious disease among sheep. It's caused by a little microscopic parasite. And it comes in warm weather. And it causes a scab and causes an infection in the animals. And what happens as they rub their heads together, even in aggression or by in for comfort or just in connection, that the scab disease would transfer from one to the other because it's highly contagious. The parasite, the thing that bugs them, the thing that caused their hair to come out and caused them to be infected, was contagious. Now, I could probably preach a whole nother hour on that thought. Because how many know despair is contagious? Fear is contagious. What we speak out of our mind, you can come into a situation feeling really good. And all of a sudden, three people hit you before you've caught your breath of all the things that's wrong about everything that's going on. And all of a sudden, you've caught their disease. You got a good old case of the grumpies for yourself, and now everybody has it. It's spreading through the flock because we put our heads together and we spread the scabs. And we spread the disease or what's hurting us. And you know what the cure for that is? They anoint their head with oil. Now, this is where the dipping comes in. Because the scab doesn't always just stay on your head. Sometimes it goes to the other parts of your body. It'll affect the other parts of the body. It'll affect the other parts of the body. So in those kind of cases, they just dip them in the ointment. I thank God for the times in my life where he's just dipped me. You know where you just get up sometimes and say, Lord, today's one of those days. Just dip me. Amen. Just saturate me with your presence. Because the scripture said how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Do you know unity is like a precious ointment that's released from the head of Aaron that flows down to the beard and flows all the way down to the garment and to the feet and to the floor. That kind of saturation, you know, when you get up those mornings where you need that kind of oil. Not just that little touch of peppermint, you need a bath in it. It's just one of those days, Lord, when I just need you to dip me. Hallelujah. So that whatever is bugging me, whatever parasite, whatever thing wants to come against me today, that not only does it not go to any other part of my body, but I don't spread it around to anybody else. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord my God and my Redeemer. The words of my mouth are power. They're power. And so they anoint them. So in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37, and I'll try to end up with this one. Oh, maybe not, because that one's good too. Luke chapter 10 is a portion of scripture. It says, and behold, a certain, 10:25, I believe it is, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what's written in the law? You know the law. What does it read? He answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. That would cure pretty much every issue that we have. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do. And then we say, but, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But, but he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by. Somebody say on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in what? Oil and wine. And set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? He said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now for them to hear that the Samaritan was the neighbor kind of blows the mind out of the safety zone, because they didn't have any fellowship or any doings with Samaritans. And I really think this parable puts Jesus in the position of the Samaritan, because he said, when I saw him laying and bleeding and dying, how many know when Jesus saw a bleeding and dying creation that had been broken and wounded and had fell among thieves, the law that had stripped them, the traditions that had robbed them, and all of the things that had caused them to feel unclean, unrighteous, blemished, and no good, it stripped them and left them dying along the road. And those who were righteous and those who thought that they were in good standing, they passed by on the other side, because if that man was actually dead and they touched him, guess what? By virtue of touching him, they became unclean. But I love it that Jesus comes along and hangs out with Samaritans, and he hangs out with the blemished, and he hangs out with the unclean. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pour in oil and wine, and I'm going to restore, and I'm going to touch him. I'm going to heal him. I'm going to lift him up. I'm going to carry him. I'm going to take him to the inn. I'm going to check him in. I'm going to get him help. And he said, here's what I want you to know. If there's anything else on the bill, when I get here, I'm going to pay the bill. Aren't you glad that Jesus gathered us up one day and took us to a place of strength and help and rescued you out of hell and out of hell's grips and out of being broken and hurt and wounded and bruised? And the thing that brought healing in your life was because he poured in the oil and the wine, and he anointed your head with oil till your cup runs over. And if there's any other need, when I get back to check on him, I'm going to take care of that, because the bill is paid in full. Somebody say, paid in full. We know a God who has paid it in full. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with this, but I'm not going to read it. There is a lady who comes into the presence of Jesus, to the house of Simon, who is a leper. I mean, everybody's got issues sometimes. And he's at the house of Simon the leper, and tradition would have caused them to anoint his feet with oil or anoint his head. You just did that as a hospitality. Like if you would come to my house, I would offer you a cold drink or refreshment or whatever it is that you need while you're there. But there's a little lady who sneaks in, and she comes in behind Jesus, maybe because she doesn't feel like she's worthy to stand in front of him. But when they would recline, their feet would be to the back. And she comes in with her alabaster box, and she begins to break it open, and she anoints his feet with the oil out of that alabaster box. And she washes him with her tears, and she wipes him with the hair of her head. And I did not get this until yesterday. And I've preached this scripture many times. By washing the feet of Jesus, guess what she did? She anointed her head with oil. Because one of the best ways to anoint your head with oil is to wash his feet with your tears and to pour out your praise on him. And when you get so close and so intimate that you got a hold of his feet and you're pouring out your praise and your anointing and your worship on him, and you begin to take your hair and wipe his feet with your hair, guess what you just did? You anointed your head with oil, and she left that place, and he said, she has done this unto my burial. That flask would have been saved to anoint her body. The alabaster box was used to anoint the body in death. But she poured hers out on Jesus, because she said, his death is my death. And when she left there, she anointed his head, she anointed his feet, and there in that, she anointed her head with oil. And I believe that when she left that place, her cup runneth over. Stand to your feet with me. And surely, surely goodness and mercy followed her right out of that place, and she dwelled in the house of the Lord. He said, go in peace. Thy sins be forgiven. Go in peace. He anoints my head with oil. If you want to anoint, you want your head anointed with oil today, through any time, one of the best ways to do it is to wash his feet. And that means you pour out your praise on him. Because when you begin to pour out, again, you pour out what you got in there, guess what he does? He saturates you. He begins to saturate you. The script, it says that the flask that she had, the fragrance filled the room. You know what? Everywhere she went, she had a smell of that oil and that fragrance on her hair, that when she come in contact with people, Sister Arlene, they could smell Jesus on her. And when she went head to head with somebody who had scabs or flies, guess what? That anointing oil that was on her hair and on her head and on her body left a trace that somebody has been with Jesus. Lift your hands this morning. Somebody has encountered Jesus. I believe we've encountered Jesus in this place today. Hallelujah. If you don't know Jesus and you want to receive him, if you want special prayer, if you need anything from God this morning, just reach out and receive it today. Maybe you don't need it for yourself. Maybe your kids need it. Maybe your neighbor needs it. Maybe your enemy needs it. Maybe your grandbabies need it. Maybe your boss needs it. Hallelujah. Go into that situation with the fragrance of Jesus on your hair. The fragrance of the anointing. The fragrance of his presence. Hallelujah. That they'll have an aroma that said they've been with Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.